אז איך שנסתכל על זה ונסתכל כן פעמיים, היום זורם זורם כמו אתמול, כמו שלשום, וזה אותו כחול גדול, אותו עוף בשמיים.
This is Dr. Ali Evans welcoming you to Light on Health, a show where we shine the light on a full spectrum of topics that affect your health and that of our entire community. My guest today is Dr. Robert James, a chiropractic physician, and we're going to be talking about chiropractic medicine and brain injuries, which I'm really excited to talk about. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning. So before we dive into the more dorky medical things that I love, just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up here.
Well, I'm a transplant from Chicago. I practiced in Chicago for 12 years. And back in 2003, I came out to the Pacific Northwest, particularly Portland and the coast, for a visit. And I kept coming back for 10 years. And in 2013, I made the move.
So you've been here for 6 years.
Yes, I started off in Portland with a practice in Portland, and we migrated to the coast.
And how long have you been on the coast?
4 years.
Okay. Do you love it?
I love it.
Good answer. The listeners won't be mad at you to start. And how did your trajectory end up in chiropractic medicine?
Well, I was a soldier for a number of years, and I was injured on active duty, and I was stationed at Fort Hood, Texas, which is the largest army base in the free world, 339 square miles. And on the entire base, there was only one chiropractor. Mm. So the wait was months. And when I finally got in, he got me better, and I decided to emulate him.
Interesting. So it's awesome that they had that model integrated in that care. But yeah, one for however many thousands
so it was
of people
pretty new.
Who need it.
This was back in the 80s, and it was pretty new.
And when you met with him, were you like, this is my next path? Or was it sort of a slow?
It wasn't a direct path, but also I've had family members. For example, my mother, may she rest in peace. She was on maybe 15 or 16 different medications. Mm-hmm. In her senior years, and they all had an effect on whatever the other one done.
That's right. One drug
had a side effect of nervousness or shaking or something like that, and then they had a pill for that. So
I just
found this to be a vicious circle that needed to be broken in some way. And I think chiropractic and a lot of the natural health disciplines addressed it without more medication.
That's right. Yeah. I know, and that cascade of one intervention or one medication that causes, you know, these three side effects, and then there's three medications for those three side effects,
exactly.
And so on and so on. Pretty soon it's like we've got this alphabet soup of medication, and we have no idea what's happening in the body anymore at that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So for the listeners that don't really know what chiropractic medicine is, will you just give us a gist of what it is? And
well, most people, if you ask, what do a chiropractor do?
Yeah.
They'll tell you that they pop your back or, something to do with
which, to be
bones.
Honest, doesn't sound that pleasant, does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't. And it's not that accurate either.
Yeah.
So basically, our relationship or our interest as chiropractors in the spine is as it relates to the nervous system. The brain and spinal cord is the central nervous system, and the nerves that come off of that is the peripheral ones, which is the main highway of communications for the brain to communicate with the rest of the body, which is
right.
The master controller. And my job as a chiropractor is to keep those nerves free of interference so the body can function the way it's supposed to. So we do this with a chiropractic adjustment, a light force with the goal of removing pressure to the nerve, restoring function, because the nerve goes to something, whether it's a muscle, whether it's an organ. And if the nerve has pressure on it and it's not doing what it's supposed to do, chances are whatever it's going to won't do what it's supposed to do as well.
Right.
So once I remove the pressure from that nerve, the function is restored. And the symptoms go away, and I look like a genius to
that's
my patients.
That's right. Well, and it's interesting. That's such a great way to explain it, because really your spine is there just as protection to the nervous system.
Exactly.
Like that's the, I mean, obviously there's other structural roles, but those bones are just like a protective, what's the word around a castle? Like a fortress around
exactly.
this really delicate nervous system.
Absolutely.
And you're just clearing the highways so that the nervous system can do what it needs to do.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, and the fascinating part about it, and we'll talk a little bit more as we talk about brain injuries, but that idea that the nervous system is not just the directions and what the organ or muscle needs to do. It's also our personality. It's the way that we learn. It's how we show up in the world. It's how we see the world. It's our senses. So it's really all that makes us human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No small feat. No small job description.
Absolutely.
And when you hear people say, you know, when you're doing an adjustment and your people say like, oh, my, you know, I have to get my bones put back in place or the spine put back in place. When you're adjusting, you're not actually putting a bone that's not in place back in place. But explain sort of what's happening there with the pops and the cracks.
Okay.
And the
yes, that's really the long-term goal, is to get things back in place. But how we do it is we don't just move the bone. That
right.
would require surgery.
Right.
What we do is we enter a force, and along with the force, for every reaction or force, there's an equal and opposite one that the body gives back. And together, those two things move the bone and put it into the right place. So, for example, there's this normal biomechanics of the spine. When you move one way, the spine should do move in the opposite direction, for example, the spinous processes. And when there's a fixation or a pressure on a nerve or one of these bones changes juxtaposition in relationship to the bone above or bone below, it puts pressure on that nerve. Mm-hmm. So as we start to correct this, when we barely get the pressure off the nerve, the patient starts to feel a lot better, because the weight of a dime can reduce neurotransmission by up to 50%. So it doesn't take much pressure.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then when the transmission is reduced, that means symptoms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So initially, it goes through a process called aberration, where it increases signal. So mm-hmm. you may have muscle spasms or stiffness or things like that.
Which is a good thing.
Exactly, because it's still new. It's in the acute state. But
yes.
The longer you have it and the more chronic it becomes, it goes through a process called facilitation. And then there are less signals and you start to get less motion and frozen mm-hmm. shoulder and things like that. Or hip or whatever joint it is. So it's important that we prevent that from happening.
And people definitely make the association with musculoskeletal pain or nerve symptoms with going to see a chiropractor. What else comes up? Like, what else would people maybe not think about that has tremendous benefit
well? In major cities, it seems like my patients on the Oregon coast are much more aware of overall health and the benefits of chiropractic.
We are more highly evolved here on the Oregon
Absolutely.
Coast. Did you not get that memo before you moved here?
Absolutely. And but in the major cities, most people are introduced to the field of chiropractic through a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is a very different way
right.
of, you know, with very different reasons. And
yes.
usually there's pain. And when you feel better, you think when the pain is gone, you think you're healed. And the fact of the matter is, pain is the last thing to come and the first thing to go, and probably one of the poorest indicators of how injured you really
mm-hmm.
are.
Yes. And your some of your interest has lied in brain injury and, you know, maybe the brain injuries that obviously, just like you said, there's brain injuries that are, you know, the car accident or the blow to the brain that's really obvious and big. And then there's also very subtle kind of, you know, oh, it's not quite a concussion and you're probably okay and there's nothing we can see or measure.
Right.
Talk a little bit just about this idea of the brain being injured and that effect on the body.
Well, let's talk a little bit about traumatic brain injuries.
Let's do it. And for the listeners out there, you might hear the term TBI, which stands for traumatic brain injury. So there's a lot kind of in the talk, especially with sports and young athletes, about concussion signs and also TBIs and older athletes. But
so first of all, the word concussion is a Latin word for to shake violently, to give you an idea of what we're talking about. So it's not always a blunt object or some resistant force that your body is meeting with. It could be the brain against the inside of the skull.
Yes.
That could produce damage as well. But basically, we break concussions down or traumatic brain injuries into two categories.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is the mild traumatic brain injury, or MTBIs. And this is basically some malfunction of the brain, as well as microstructures being damaged. And they show up on MRI mm-hmm. or CT. So there is ways to verify this,
yeah.
as well as with examinations that we do.
Right.
And then there's the severe traumatic brain injury, which usually includes some bleeding in the brain and microscopic evidence,
mm-hmm.
like bleeding out of the ear, which would be indicative of a skull fracture.
Right.
So forth. So the number one thing that we need to do, most studies have shown that between 15 and 50% of pediatric athletes have some degree of this mild traumatic brain
yeah.
injury. And so the first thing we need to do is to teach coaches, parents, teachers how to recognize some of these things. And hopefully get ahead of these things before they become a chronic traumatic brain injury.
Which is a really interesting point, because I see, especially, you know, lots of the people coaching are parents that are volunteering to coach. And they, you know, it's now required to do some concussion handouts to the parents and a little bit of training to the coaches. But even my son plays baseball. And I was on the baseball field with them a couple weeks ago, and the pitcher, this little boy, pitched a ball, and it, you know, the batter hit it, and it went right to the pitcher, and he caught some of the blunt, like some of the force with his glove and the other with his head. And he, you know, laid down and immediately was kind of more just what just happened. But they took him off the field. And of course, I'm the physician there checking him out. I was watching sort of what the coaches were doing and how that was all happening. And that's sort of the point where they're not trained medical professionals and no one really knows what to do. And of course, in this case, the little boy's, you know, I'm ready. I want to go play. I'm ready to play. And I did an exam and there wasn't any findings. And then he gave me the whole batting order and I was like, okay, he's doing okay. But this idea of what we actually do in the moment to assess what's going on.
Yes, and that may be a good assessment for a big brain injury, where
right,
there's
exactly.
some pretty obvious and immediate things.
But the fact subtleties.
That, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, first of all, we see mild or traumatic brain injury a little differently at our clinic.
Mm-hmm.
We notice that it's not just the physical aspect of it. You know, it's not just the cognitive aspect. Actually, we come up with five components that we should take a look at when a person comes into our office and have a history of
yeah.
an incident that could produce a traumatic brain injury. We want to look at their cognitive skills. And I'll go a little bit into this when we
yeah.
talk about the signs. Vestibular, physical, nutritional, and chemical,
mm-hmm.
and visual. Visual is really important. So the first thing we want to look at is to see if there's any visual evidence, like a head injury, like we talked about
yes.
earlier, bleeding from the ear. We also want to look at loss of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
With loss of consciousness, this is a very important marker when a person has had a head injury.
Mm-hmm.
If they have lost consciousness for more than a minute, chances are they do have some brain damage. Also, how long the person was unconscious is directly related to how long recovery will take. So the longer a person was unconscious, the longer it'll take them to get better.
Why do you think that is?
I think
the amount of time of the brain not getting enough
exactly,
blood flow and oxygen.
And more time for damage.
Yeah.
And if there are some other things involved, like vomiting, mm-hmm. we know that we're probably going to get a positive CT as well, head
yes.
CT as well.
Yeah.
Where we'll be able to see the damage in the nerves and the nerve components, axons, mm-hmm. in the brain. Also, loss of memory,
yeah.
both short-term and long-term.
Right.
And we're talking about not just adolescents, but adults as well, because car accidents can produce these, or assaults, mm-hmm. Not just sport injuries.
What about, do you also see, I had this in my practice, personality changes.
Exactly.
Which is kind of fascinating. There was a patient who had a direct blow to the head and, you know, left his wife, left his kids. I'm no longer wanting to be married. I'm, you know, just really, I've, not to say that that's, you know, lots of people decide, have a change of heart, not from a brain injury, but it was a really distinct personality change.
Well, yes. And there's a part of the brain that is can be damaged in a mm-hmm. head injury, limbic system, which
yes.
control mood and attitude and things like that. But in my practice, what we've seen mostly is this unusual, very low threshold for anger and irritability. We find these people become very short, and they were not this way prior to the to the injury. But now, you know, they're just a little mean.
That's fascinating. I've heard a couple different people say that when they hit their head, just lightly, like if they hit or they're getting in the car and they hit their head, that they'll get really angry. And I've often wondered that correlation.
Yes.
Like it just makes them want to yell or hit something that, you know, hit their car back.
now that's in the moment. And what we,
yes,
we
exactly.
mean is a change in behavior.
Right. Yes.
And
for those of you listening who are wanting to know who I'm talking to, my guest today is Dr. Robert James, a chiropractic physician. And we are talking about traumatic brain injuries. And you're listening to Coast Community Radio. And for some of the other manifestations that you're seeing, or some of the other impacts of brain injury.
So there's one that I believe we should really be mindful of, and that is the eye, the functions of the eye. We seem to notice eye functions equal brain function. If
yes.
one malfunctions, so do the other. And the number one cause of eye function in terms of motion is a brain injury. And that is so important to the diagnosis of mal or traumatic brain injury mm-hmm. that we have a test that we do in my practice when a person comes in and we suspect a mal or just a regular traumatic brain injury, we give them a visual error scoring system
mm-hmm.
test, which basically tests the function of the eyes, convergence, being able to pursue or track an object with their eyes. And and if they can do these sorts of things, that's fine. And they may not have it, but if they have trouble doing this, we give them a point for every error in
mm-hmm.
not being able to do this.
Yes.
And of course, the higher the score, the more the chance of a diagnosis of a mild traumatic brain injury.
And I think something people don't often know is the brain is similar to other organs in the body, in the sense that if something gets, the same way if we step on a nail, there's inflammation, there's swelling, there's pain, there's redness, there's all these things we can visibly see. The brain is so well protected, we can't see it, but it's subject to the same forces of inflammation and damage.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's good that you brought up the inflammation, because sometimes the symptoms get better, but there's still some inflammation in the brain, which makes this person more susceptible to a second injury a second concussion.
Which is really common, that someone will have one concussion and multiple more very soon after in that year following.
Yes, especially with children.
Yeah. You know,
with the pediatric athlete, we see that quite often. As a matter of fact, they're the ones who are most at risk for a second injury or a second concussion.
What do you think is the reason for that? Just that there's this inflammation still
that's
happening?
That's a part of it. But again, for that particular age group, we think that their brain is just not fully developed yet. Mm-hmm. The bones are smaller and thinner and more susceptible to fracture.
Mm-hmm.
The head-to-body ratio can have an effect on balance. So a number of other factors as well.
And talk to us a little bit about the treatment aspect of brain injury, sort of what's the approach. You know, we hear about resting the brain, which is very difficult for people, especially human beings, human doings.
Well, let me start with what we do in our office.
Yeah,
first of all, we diagnose the person and we get a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And second, we start to treat them. Normally in a chiropractic office, you would get a type of adjustment called high velocity, low amplitude,
mm-hmm.
where you may hear the popping, or we may use a handheld instrument
mm-hmm.
or some other technique. None of those things we can use with an acute traumatic brain injury or an acute mild traumatic brain injury. We just can't use that because it creates more risk for the patient. So instead, we use mobilization, where we just want to use very gentle ways of adjusting a patient without it using any force at all.
And is the goal of mobilization to get more blood flow and oxygen to the brain
mm-hmm.
to heal?
Increase range of motion,
uh-huh.
relieve pressure from the nerves and other vessels, increase circulation, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And by doing that, you're going to speed the healing process.
That's the whole
goal. Allow nutrients in, allow oxygen in, allow waste out, sort of that process of repair that the body does.
And not just speed the healing up, but so these patients can actually heal, because some people have symptoms for up to 15 years because these symptoms and signs go unnoticed. And for your listeners, please remember that signs are things that you can observe in another person, but symptoms are only what the patient can feel.
That's right. And one of the things I often tell patients is the brain is so well protected. It has this barrier, this blood-brain barrier, that is very selective about what it lets in and what it doesn't. But that means that in terms of getting healing things to the brain, we have to do it ourselves through adequate movement and hydration and these other ways of actually getting things to the brain to heal.
Well, unfortunately, there's not a pill that you can take for mild traumatic brain injury or any type of brain injury. That's just not a pill for that. So what we have found is a nervous system free of interferences allows the brain and other parts of the body to heal.
Meaning going back to what you were saying, where you have the highways of nerves cleared so that the body can heal itself.
Absolutely.
Which is what Hippocrates said how many years ago?
Our
job is to just get out of the way.
Absolutely.
And allow it. Yeah. And with people, like, let's talk, you know, for example, if it's a mild traumatic brain injury, typically what are you seeing in terms of just the healing process, how long you might assume it may take, and how much treatment you're doing and how often you're seeing them? And
well, it depends on the patient compliance.
Mm-hmm.
We like to send the patient home with some homework, some
yes.
things to do at home. And patients who comply get better much faster than patients who don't. But it's good. What I also like to send patients home with is a list of red flags, because sometimes we don't get all the history because they forgot about this.
Absolutely.
Or this didn't show up in the last in their medical history.
Right.
And so if you see any of these things, please seek emergency medical care. If a person is unable to wake, it's hard to wake an unconscious person. So if they are and you can't wake them up, that means that this is a medical emergency.
Yeah.
Or if you see convulsions or seizures, another thing. And some of these are pretty obvious, but but please do something. A change in pupil size. So one pupil is small, the other one is big.
That's
clearly
right.
A sign of a brain malfunction.
Yes.
Headaches that worsen or don't go away. That's not just your regular migraine or anything.
Right.
Usually they go away. Repeated vomiting. I think that would send you to the hospital
yes.
pretty quickly. And slurred speech. And with babies and children that won't eat or just unconsolable, this is an indication as well, especially if there was some injury that
And often it. With a, I'll often tell patients when it's a change from normal behavior, you might have a colicky baby and they're fussy from 4 to 6 p.m. every night.
Yes.
And you're wondering if they have a head injury. And they're fussy again at 4 to 6 p.m., you know, if it's like oftentimes is a change from the norm.
Exactly.
But when in doubt, get it checked out. It's not going to.
I like that. When in doubt, get it checked out. Yes.
And it rhymes. I didn't even realize that until I said it. So tell the listeners just where your practice is and how they would get in touch with you if they're interested in having a brain injury and then getting I'm just kidding. But if they're looking for chiropractic treatment and medicine.
Right. Please. We're at 139 South Main Avenue, downtown Warrenton, right next to the Northwest Housing Authority building. Most people in town know us and can point you in that direction.
Yes.
We're not far from the post office. And on the window, it's James Chiropractic Spine and Joint Centers. Or you can call us at 503-454-6176.
503-454-6176.
Absolutely.
And the name of the clinic is James Chiropractic Spine and Joint Center.
Yes.
And I will preempt and let people know they don't need referrals.
That's right.
Right? Anyone can call.
That's right.
Their physician does not need to call.
Yep. That's right.
And you take patients all ages?
Yes.
Yep. All genders, all ages.
Yes, we have a family practice.
Yep. Anyone with a spine?
Anyone
Maybe
with
even
a
without
spine.
A spine. And anything you kind of want to leave with listeners just about chiropractic medicine in general and who might benefit and just who might not be thinking about it, but...
Well... Yes. So if I could just leave your listeners with one idea about healthcare, please take your health into your own hands.
Mm-hmm.
Research, take a look at things, and go in to the gatekeepers first. Don't start with the surgeons. Don't start with the most invasive types of doctors. You know, go into your chiropractor, go into your doctors of naturopath, go into acupuncturists. These people can help you, and they can resolve a lot of these problems without giving you drugs or surgery or
yes.
injections or something more invasive. And that stuff will always be there if you need it. And
That's
as the
right.
problem becomes more chronic, you may want to look at that. But a lot of these things can be handled in the acute phase.
And that's the perfect segue to say I am going to have you back on the show and we're going to talk about navigating that the healthcare system for the patient, how to know where to start, how to self-advocate, how to navigate a very non-intuitive system, I would say,
yes.
and maybe a little bit of a fear-based system at times.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Well, you've been listening to Dr. Robert James, a chiropractic physician. The podcast will be available online if you all missed some of the information and want to listen, take a listen again. His clinic is the James Chiropractic Spine and Joint Center in downtown Warrenton. You've been listening to Light on Health on Coast Community Radio. A very special thank you to Dylan for engineering this show because I do not know how to work any of those buttons that he is sitting in front of. It's my hope that we have enlightened and empowered you to take one tiny step forward towards your own radiant health. See you next month. היום זורם זורם כמו אתמול, כמו שלשום, וזה עוד...